Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. This is the fall of man. We'll go ahead and read the entire chapter. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And to Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, and clothed them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Father, please help this evening as we discuss this chapter. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing that you notice about this passage of Scripture is it's after creation, and you see that there is a serpent involved. I hate snakes. I will continue to hate snakes. I don't care how many people think it's normal to love snakes. I will always hate snakes. I don't know if it's because God put enmity there between the serpent and the human race, or just because I don't like snakes. I know that this serpent was used by the devil. Now, number one, this is the devil himself. He took the form of a serpent. And the devil in the Garden of Eden goes to Eve and deceives Eve. And so the first thing that I want us to look at is I want us to look at the enemy. The enemy. The enemy is subtle. Subtle is usually used in a bad sense. Crafty, prudent, subtle. And when the Bible translated this word, the Hebrew word, into subtle, it gave us a bad connotation that the serpent was subtle. The second thing that the enemy is the enemy is deceitful. The enemy is deceitful. The devil, he did lie, but he just didn't go out and tell a whole lie. He just didn't tell the whole truth. He does lie in one sense where he says, "Thou shalt not surely die." God says, "The day that you eat thereof, you will die." He did lie about that. He didn't lie about the fruit, making one wise. The devil is deceitful. And the devil always puts doubt on two things. Number one, the devil will put doubt on God's word. Yea, hath God said. And number two, when the devil deceives you and me, he always puts doubt on God's goodness. God doesn't want what's best for you, Eve. He's holding back. And the devil will do that in your life and in my life. The application is that the devil is a real enemy. He is subtle. He is crafty. He is deceitful. He'll cause us to doubt everything about God. He caused Eve to doubt God's word. And I can't say it enough, but the first thing that the devil did was put doubt on God's word. And since that time, he has tried to make human beings doubt the word of God. And I want you to know, I don't need to say it, but I will. I want you to know that I hold in my hand the King James Version of the English Bible. This Bible is God's holy, perfect, preserved, inspired word. Not double inspiration. It's not been inspired twice. It was inspired once. But what good is inspiration without preservation? It does us no good at all. And so God inspired the word, and then, since God's big enough to inspire the word, he's big enough to preserve the word, and I have zero doubt that this Bible is God's complete, perfect word of God. I put all of my eggs in this basket. If I go to hell, it's because this Bible's wrong. This is everything that I believe about God. I don't know the Hebrew, and I really don't know the Greek. I've taken Greek, but Greek is not something that I am proficient in. Although I do use the Hebrew words and I do use the Greek words often when I study. My basis is upon the Word of God. And I want you to know, church family, that you can put your faith and trust in the Word of God. The devil will try to get you to doubt it. He has done it so deceitfully and so subtle. By having 300 different English versions of the Bible. Or I should say, 299 perversions of the Bible. Because, as Curtis Hudson said years ago when I was able to go hear him preach, things that are different are not the same. The King James Bible is definitely different than any other ESV, ESRV, ABCD, EFGs, whatever you got out there. The King James Bible says things differently than those versions. Now, it's not really a translational issue. It's a textual issue for me anyway. And the King James Bible was translated out of the right text. But I put everything that I believe about God right here. Friend, without this, we wouldn't know anything. We wouldn't know what Aaron sang about, that Jesus loved us. Without this, we wouldn't know that Jesus loved us. Without this, we wouldn't know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Without this, we wouldn't know that Jesus was God. Without this, we wouldn't know who created the world. We would know that there would be a higher power, but we wouldn't know who He is. And so there's so many things, and I want you to know that the first thing the devil's going to do to a believer that is struggling is he's going to get you and me, he's going to get us to doubt God's Word. Like yesterday when I was praying, "Dear God, are you listening?" Now, why would I have to ask that question? Because I was doubting. God does listen. How do I know He listens? Did God say, "Yes, Nathan, I'm listening"? No. You know how I know He's listening? How do I know He's listening? Because He tells me He is. He hears our prayers. And so when you and I struggle with something, whether it be a spiritual issue, any issue really, the devil's going to get you and me to doubt the Word of God. He did it with Eve. Because he's subtle, because he's deceitful, he wants you to doubt God's Word. But you know, we fail to realize that he wanted Eve to doubt God's goodness. Now this is where I believe that we can get some of us believers. Most of us will say, "Well, we believe the Bible, lock, stock, and barrel." But have you ever wondered why bad things are happening to you? "Well, why did my dad have to die at 62? That doesn't make any sense at all." 62! That's young. That's real young anymore. The older I get, the younger it is. 62. Does God not care? Why did I have to have this diagnosis of cancer? Does God not care about me? Why did my mom have to get... Why does my children have... Why did... And the devil will take circumstances in our life, and he'll get you and I to doubt God's goodness. Eve, God doesn't want you not to eat the fruit because you'll die. God's holding back on you. God's holding back on me. And friend, I want you to know that God will try to get you and me to, or the devil will try to get you and me to think that God is holding back His goodness to us. See, God's Word and God's goodness, they're there. But the devil's going to use his subtlety, the devil's going to use his deceitfulness, and he is going to try to make you and I doubt His Word and doubt His goodness. And I want you to know, I mean, when I go on visitation, sometimes you go into situations where you're knocking on the door and I'll talk to them and they'll say, "Don't you understand? My little son died of cancer. Where was God then?" That's a hard, I don't care how seasoned of a veteran you might be in the ministry, that's a hard question to have to hear. And you know what my answer is? God's good. That doesn't make any sense. God's good. It was not God's perfect will for that boy to get cancer. You say, "Well, he got it." No, it was God's perfect will for us to be in the Garden of Eden. It was His permissive will that he got cancer. Anything and everything that ever happens bad to us is a result of sin, not a result of God's goodness. But the devil, who is to be blamed, wants to take everything that happens to us and turn it around and throw it back at God, who does not deserve blame. God is good. Don't ever doubt that, friend. When you're going through struggles, remember God is good. God's Word is true. When you're having doubts, God is good. Tell the devil where he can go. I remind him often of his eternal fate. I really do. I physically tell him out loud, because he can't read my thoughts. I said, devil, someday you're going to burn in the lake of fire forever. That's you. Ah! That's you screaming. You say, you're nuts. I believe it. And he don't want to be reminded of it. And I will. And I tell you what, usually he leaves me alone rather quickly because I truly believe that he doesn't want to be reminded of that, because he knows his season is short and eternity is forever. So the devil is the enemy. So Adam and Eve, because Eve listened to those lies, mankind sinned. So now we need to look at sin real quickly. The sin. Number one, Eve was deceived. All right? Now, both scenarios were sin. It doesn't matter if we're deceived into sin or we willfully choose to sin. Both of them are sin. Well, I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to. It's still sin. Anytime that you and I break the commandment of God, it's sin. Whether we did it by accident, or we didn't really understand, or whether we did it blatantly on purpose. Eve was deceived. Eve was sitting there listening to this argument. She was deceived. But Adam made a willful choice. He basically chose Eve over God. And friend, I want you to know that anytime you and I choose something or someone over God, that is a willful choice to sin. And Adam made a choice. And God wasn't the choice Adam made. See, friend, that is a great definition of sin. Choosing anything over God. Yes, that will entail all the sins that we know of. Breaking any of the Ten Commandments. Choosing that over God. Sometimes we're deceived into sin. And sometimes we know exactly what we're doing. But either way, it's sin. Going against God. And because of sin, we have results. Number one, their result, they no longer wanted to walk with God. Because they knew they were naked, they were ashamed. Something was different now, and it wasn't good. It was because of sin. So the result is they no longer wanted to walk with God. The result of sin is they wanted to blame Adam. God says, Adam, who told you that you were naked? Did you eat of the fruit that I told you not to eat of? And the first thing Adam does is Adam blames God. The woman that thou gavest me. It's your fault, God. I was happy as could be by myself. But this woman that you prepared for me, she gave me the fruit and I did eat. If she hadn't been here, if you wouldn't have created her, I would be fine. I wouldn't have gone by that tree and been deceived. So God, it's your fault. God doesn't say anything here. He just goes right to Eve. Eve, the serpent. The snake deceived me. God doesn't say anything there. Snake. He didn't have anybody to blame. And God said, all right, you're going to be cursed. So the result of sin is they no longer wanted to walk with God. They started blaming. And friend, this is so true. You and I, we like to blame everybody else but the person that looks in the mirror for our faults and failures. I mean, this society is rearing millennials to blame everybody but themselves. I've seen on Facebook a couple of times the greatest generation, 18-year-olds fighting in World War II. Now 18-year-olds today need quiet rooms at colleges because they can't handle being talked about. What a bunch of sissies. We've raised a bunch of losers. Excuse my English. They're not losers because God doesn't love them. They're losers because they have no character. But we have created a generation that blames everybody else for their faults. Well, the government didn't do this. I mean, have you not noted? Has anybody talked about the differences in when Louisiana got nailed? New Orleans, excuse me, is that Louisiana? When Louisiana got nailed by a hurricane and when Texas got nailed by a hurricane, there was a lot less blaming the government in one or the other. Did you notice that? I mean, I'm not going to tell you which one, but if you can't figure it out, go watch ESPN. Go watch Fox News. Go watch. One people blamed the government, one society blamed the government, and one society just put on their boots and got to work. Because one has been trained to blame everybody else, and one group of people decided that, hey, we built our state and we can continue to, we'll rebuild our state. No one likes to talk about that because that's uncomfortable, but that's the truth. But we don't want to say it because we're afraid to hurt millennials' feelings. Well, fix to get your feelings hurt. Because we have reared a society that wants to blame government, that wants to blame mom, that wants to blame dad. Well, when I was a child, they whipped me too much. Well, probably the truth is they didn't whip you enough. And there are some situations where there are people that did have abusive situations, and I don't make light of that. But it's time that we stop blaming someone else for our faults and failures and start blaming the person that you look at in the mirror. It's not the pastor's fault. It's not your parents' fault. It's not your politician's fault. See, that was alliterated, three P's right there. We're fallen creatures, creation. We sin because we're sinners. And every one of us have a choice to make about how we're going to deal with the situations and problems in our lives. And stop blaming everybody else. This is what even Adam did. I mean, it just went down the line. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. The serpent got cursed. So the curse was the serpent's going to be on the belly for the rest of his life, and there's going to be enmity between Eve and the serpent. Eve was going to be in pain and giving child, having children. Adam would work by the sweat of his brow. The earth would not give forth its fruit easily, and they were all kicked out of the Garden of Eden. But I want us all to know God didn't leave us there. No, he made himself a sacrifice. And he finally gave us the cure. See, Adam and Eve made fig leaves to cover their nakedness. They made aprons, the Bible says. But God sacrificed a living creature, a living animal, and took the skin of that living animal, the first physical death in the Bible, and took that skin of that sacrifice and clothed Adam and Eve's nakedness. That was a picture that blood had to be shed to cover the sins. And one day the perfect lamb would come and shed his blood and cover our sins with his righteousness, not with coats of skin. And Jesus Christ did that. Thou shalt bruise, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Another picture of Christ on Calvary. The cure for our sins is Jesus Christ. The first death was that animal that died to cover the nakedness of men, a picture that God would die to cover our sins. So tonight, if you're lost, God wants to save you. He wants to restore all that has been taken by sin. Hey, one day, the serpent will no longer make human beings fearful. One day, the earth will bring forth its fruit. The curse of the earth will be gone. My daughter Autumn asked me a great question that I never thought about, and I don't know the answer, so I'm going to let you chew on it for a week. In the millennium, the earth's curse is removed. The Bible says the lion will lay down with the lamb, the children will play with the asp of a cock, whatever, I don't know if it's a snake or whatever it is, but some kind of creature that's poisonous. The children are going to play with it. The lion is not going to eat the lamb. That's not heaven, that's millennium. The earth's curse is removed. Satan is no longer around. He's thrown into the bottomless pit. My daughter Autumn said, will women have pain when they give childbirth in millennium? I don't know. That I don't know. Now, I don't know that the serpent will ever not crawl on its belly anymore. But I do know that someday, everything that's been taken can be restored. No longer wanting to walk with God, you can want to walk with God again. No longer able to be in the Garden of Eden, someday we'll get heaven if you're saved. All of these curses will be removed from us because of that one who died on the cross for our sins. Maybe you've been deceived, or you find yourself blaming God for something. I want you to know that this is a tool of the devil. I don't know why God did this to me. Bitterness seeps in. If I would have never been born in this family, this wouldn't have happened. God should have known better. God, of course, knows all things. Stop blaming God. Stop doubting His goodness. Stop blaming someone else. Take responsibility. If you're here this evening and you're not saved, then I want you to know that Jesus made a way for you to be removed from the curse that this sin will bog people down for all. The devil will be cursed for all eternity. But you and I don't have to be. And if you're here today and you're not saved, He wants to save you from your sin. So I hope that you'll let Him do that. If you're having a situation, if you're going through troubles, maybe God is starting to, maybe you're starting to doubt some things. Maybe you're doubting God's goodness and you're doubting God's word. I want you to know, friend, you don't have to doubt God's goodness. You don't have to doubt God's word. That's a deceit and a lie from the devil. Don't let him win in your life. You got problems? First place to look in the mirror. When a problem comes into my life, here's what I like to do. Here's what I like to do. It's not what I always do. Here's what I like to do. First of all, I like to ask God if there's any reason that He's trying to get my attention. You get that bad report this week? God, are You trying to get my attention? Did I do something that You're trying to get my attention? Are You driving me to my knees because there's something in my life that's not right? I want to know if God's trying to teach me a lesson, because I don't want the lesson to be taught over and over and over again. I want to learn it the first time. And if I find out that there's no lesson to be taught, it's just the way life is and things happen, no one's getting out of here alive, then I want to know what I can do to be a blessing, and how can I help, and what can I do to glorify and honor God.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.